The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. You're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, it's 4 minutes after the hour of 10 here on Thursday night. Thursday night, June 8th, 2023. And you know what day and time it is wherever you're listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT Radio. I gave the full date, including the year, because history has been made. Because for the first time, a former United States president has been indicted on federal charges. I know that he was indicted by a grand jury in New York on the whole, you know, money to the porn star, blah, blah, blah. But the Stormy Daniels thing was not a federal grand jury. This is a history-making moment. Not a good one, but a history-making moment nonetheless. Donald Trump will appear in federal court in Miami on Tuesday, I think at 3 or between 3 and 4 p.m. And there are at least 7 counts in the indictment. And according to one of Trump's attorneys, who I saw speaking on CNN just moments ago, those charges include conspiracy, false statements, retention of documents that fit under the Espionage Act. So those are just some of the seven. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. That's 4 of the 7. And who knows what the other 3 are. I can't say it's total coincidence because there was talk that this might happen today. So in anticipation of that, I did reach out to my friend who you are probably familiar with because he's been on this show several times. I'm very, very happy to say. And Professor Nicholas Giordano, professor of political science, host of the PAS Report. Professor, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Interesting day, to say the least.
Interesting, yeah. That's certainly certainly the case. Okay, so let's get to it. I mean, are you surprised that and we'll get to coincidences later, but are you surprised that they went ahead and while Joe Biden has documents and while Mike Pence had documents and while other presidents have had documents that they would go ahead and indict him on this case related to documents?
You know, the last time we spoke, it's interesting. So we talked about the Stormy Daniels case and I said that was garbage. I said the Georgia case that I'm not concerned about that. The federal cases, there's two of them. There's this one with the documents, and then there's the January 6th one. I said those are the ones to watch because federal cases, you know, it's always a slippery slope, and the feds have a number of tools where they can box people into corners. But I am surprised at this. So even though I'm not surprised he's been indicted through the investigation, I'm surprised that he's being charged. And we do have to state, we don't know what the actual charges are. They have not been released. We're not going to find that out till Tuesday. So it's mostly leaks and speculation, which I'll get into that in a minute, too. But there's one charge that does surprise me, and it's the willful retention of national defense information. The reason I'm surprised that they're charging him with this is because of the special counsel. Yes, there is a special counsel that's looking into President Biden, at time vice president and actually a senator too, where he was handling classified information, took classified information and retained classified information. So I'm actually surprised that they charged Trump with this because all eyes are now going to turn to the special counsel on Biden. And if you charge President Trump with this, well, why aren't you going to charge President Biden with the willful retention of national defense information? But it's also interesting because when they say retention of national defense information, that does fall into the Espionage Act. One of the things when it comes to national defense information, it doesn't have to be classified. It doesn't have to be classified information. It doesn't state specifically that only classified information. It could be any information relating to national defense information. So I'm wondering what Jack Ryan has that they're charging him with espionage, essentially. And I'm surprised that the charges aren't in Washington, D.C., if he's being charged with espionage, because that's where usually the charges come out of when it's a case like this. Why are they doing it in southern Florida, which is actually good news for former President Trump? I mean, you'd much rather a jury pool from southern Florida than a jury pool from Washington, D.C., which is voted 94% in favor of President Biden and 4%, I believe, for former President Trump. So he's better off being in South Florida. But yeah, some of it does surprise me. Some of it does not surprise me. It's the continued targeting that we've been witnessing, the weaponization of all aspects of our government. And they absolutely despise him. They do not want him running for the presidency of the United States. They want to destroy him. And I can tell you one thing, it is going to be a very interesting presidential campaign because we've never been in this situation before.
No. And you know, people don't realize that there's nothing, I mean, aside from time and all that and the logistics of it, there is nothing to stop anyone from running for president, even as a convicted felon, even from jail, which was done about 100 years ago. So, they can't stop him. They could stifle him, but they cannot stop him from running by just because they're going to, you know, even if he gets convicted. But it's so blatant, Professor. It's so in your face that, you know, we know that the trial, the New York trial is slated to start next March. I mean, right in the in the middle of it. And now this one, which here we are months later with an apparent indictment, than the other indictment, which was the end of December or something. I don't even remember when it was already. But my point is, that's got to start, I guess, either right, I guess, after the other one is over or before the other one starts. It's going to be one after the other. I mean, could they make it more obvious what they're trying to do?
Well, they don't care and they don't try and hide it anymore. And it's because nobody's ever held accountable. I mean, we've seen abuse after abuse after abuse. And you know, there's going to be people out there. Oh, you're just defending Trump. This isn't about Trump. I want to make it clear. This is about the United States of America. It's about our institutions that are corrupted through politics, through ideology. I mean, when you look at what's going on, look at how fast this special counsel operated. Look at how fast they investigated and they're bringing the charges. Now, juxtapose that against President Biden, right? So they had Hunter Biden's laptop. The FBI had it in 2019. We didn't find out about it until the end of 2020 through Miranda Devine's reporting, which was censored by the intelligence community. And then we now find out just last month about the FD-1023 that the FBI has been holding on to since 2020. There's footnotes in there that refer to information from 2017. So you're talking about 6 years and we're just finding out about it now. We have no idea what's going on with these investigations. We know that there's an IRS investigation going on into Hunter Biden. We have no idea what's happening with that. We know a whistleblower came forward and stated that the Department of Justice is slow walking the investigation and Hunter Biden's receiving special treatment. So you're talking about years of investigation, yet here you have Jack Ryan that was appointed in November of 2022. And here we are just 7 months later, and he's already indicting and bringing charges against the former president. So it's pretty clear what's going on here.
Yeah, and we should point out that this is not a independent counsel. This is a special prosecutor. This is the Biden DOJ that did this, that is doing this. So, I mean, this is, again, more in your face, more obvious. And you know, when you listen to people like Comey talk. He was plugging his book the other day, I guess.
Oh God!
And when you hear him say, not only forget the fact that it has to be Biden, not even any other Republican, which is bad enough, but when you hear him say, yes, the rule of law will be destroyed if Trump wins, and it just goes to the mindset how they could justify doing anything under the guise of protecting and saving America and democracy and the rule of law and whatever, and they are doing anything they can do. I mean, they're just, it's the double standard is insane. I mean, do we ever recover from this?
No, not until you actually have accountability. And what I mean by that, first of all, we've spoken about it before. These are the self-anointed guardians of democracy. They truly believe that the American people made the wrong decision in 2016, and that it's up to them to correct it. These are bureaucrats that were unelected by the people that think they know better than the people. And that's not the way our system is supposed to work. In fact, the founders actually warned us about this time and time again. They warned about this abusive bureaucracy that could take place as government expands. So in order to correct the problem, we have to actually use legislative action. We need a Congress that has the will to begin to remove power from these agencies, to remove power from these departments, and actually consider completely eliminating some departments. It's time that we get back to what the founding fathers intended when they called for limited government, when they wanted to safeguard God-given liberties, when they wanted to safeguard the integrity of our institutions. Unfortunately, today, everything that they feared is coming true. We are slipping into a banana republic. And again, the double standards are so glaringly obvious. It's not like they're pretending. It's not like they're trying to hide it. You have the Biden Department of Justice, you have the Federal Bureau of Investigation that is covering up the potential corruption that exists from the president and the Biden family business. And yet here you have these charges. So we know about the four, or we suspect we know about the four that's being reported throughout the media. The other three, I'm suspecting those are going to come obstruction charges. And amazingly, President Biden, he gets to hold on to classified documents when he had no power to declassify documents as a sitting vice president or a then senator, too. He had no power to declassify these documents. President Trump did. Now, whether or not President Trump declassified these documents or not, that's a question that's going to be debated in the courts. But I don't think they care about the court system anymore. I think they do whatever they want and they're going to get away with it. And as of right now, they have every right to think that way because we just got the Durham report, what, 3 weeks ago, that showed the complete and utter fraud of the Russian collusion hoax that tore this country apart. And nothing ever came from that. Here's people working in the highest levels of government and the most powerful law enforcement agency that could destroy lives that were lying to the courts. They lied to the FISA court. They manipulated evidence, and not a single person went to jail for that. That's staggering. We got another report that the FBI was illegally conducting searches. I think it was over 3 million times, collecting Americans' data. And the court has admonished the FBI time and time again about this. And yet nobody's ever been held accountable. We have the FBI being admonished for illegally accessing the National Security Agency's repository on Americans without a warrant. And yet nobody's been punished for that. Nobody's been admonished. So why can't they be so brazen when they're never held accountable?
All right, we're talking to, of course, Nicholas Giordano, the host of the PSA podcast here on the Steve Malzberg Show. All right, so let's switch over to Joe Biden. And it's very interesting, and this is what I talked about coincidence before. On the very day that we're getting reports that and let's take it from you. Of course, the committee that's investigating the whole Biden FBI document. First, only the chairman Comer and Raskin, the ranking member, were able to see the document. Comer demanded that the document be given to the committee, and they was going to hold the FBI director in contempt. And today was a big day for that, and that, so the FBI capitulated a little. They did give it over to the whole committee, and some of the Congress people who have seen it, and other sources, probably briefed by some of those who have seen it, are saying that the document shows that $5 million, a $5 million bribery scheme, actually a $10 million scheme, according to reports, five for Joe Biden, five for Hunter Biden, with regard to Burisma and Ukraine, and all about getting that prosecutor fired. The prosecutor that was investigating Burisma and Hunter, and we know what Joe Biden told Ukraine. Because we have it, and I want to play it for the folks. Let's see, make sure I got the right one here. First, Joe Biden was asked today about the bribery allegation, the $10 million bribery allegation. And this is cut 89. Here's what he said.
I'm supposed to walk off the stage now. Wait.
The bribery allegation. Congresswoman Nancy Mace says there's damning evidence in the FBI file that you sold out the country. Do you have a response to the congressional Republicans?
Where's the money? I'm joking.
Mr. President,
it's a bunch of malarkey.
Where's the money? In other words, how could you prove it? And he had this smile on his face. And of course, we know that all the LLCs and the alleged money laundering from China and from other countries that gave Biden family members all that money. So where's the money is a natural response. But here's Biden in 2020, October of 2020, at the Council on Foreign Relations, bragging about how he threatened Ukraine to fire the prosecutor that Burisma wanted fired, that allegedly Biden got $5 million and his son $5 million for getting fired. Here's cut number 94.
I said, I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was what, 6 hours. I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch, got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
I mean, if I'm talking to a jury right now and, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is part of the problem, you know, and Democrats, some are saying that, well, that's been investigated and there's nothing there. Others are saying that, well, the FBI looked at it and they didn't conduct an investigation because they didn't feel there was enough evidence to conduct. And they don't even have their story straight. But the director could clear this up himself. The director could come out and state whether it's been investigated, whether it's being investigated, whether no investigation was conducted. He'd come out today and say that and put an end to that, all the speculation. But he knows if he openly states that there's no investigation, Republicans will have a field day in the weaponization committee. Because they're going to show the corruption double standards. If Director Ray states that it's already been investigated and there's nothing there, then Republicans could subpoena all the documents and the FBI can't hide behind, hey, it's an ongoing investigation. We can't turn them over and stonewall Congress. If they admit that there is an open investigation, then Director Ray has a series of questions about where the investigation stands, should a special counsel be appointed, whether the investigation is being slow-walked to protect President Biden. So, when you look at what's going on, it really is stunning. And unfortunately, there's no real remedy except for Congress. And Republicans don't have the power in Congress, nor do I think that they actually have the will in Congress to do what's necessary to start dismantling this apparatus that exists, this surveillance state apparatus, the Big Brother apparatus, where they could target any political opponent they want to simply because they don't like them. Now, what is interesting, and this is speculation on my part, it wouldn't surprise me if we start to hear things about the Hunter Biden and the Joe Biden investigation. It wouldn't surprise me if we start to hear grumblings from the special counsel. You know, President Biden, they may not have a use for him anymore. And so they may look to press forward with that to try and take him out as well so that someone else could run. We are living through unprecedented times here in the United States, and anyone that thinks that they could predict what's going to happen, you're fooling yourself. We can't predict what's going to happen. Anyone that tries to downplay or diminish these charges against the former president, I would say don't take them lightly. When the federal government comes after you, remember, and we spoke about it the last time, Chuck Schumer, they have 6 ways a Sunday to get back at you. And are we seeing that come to fruition? And we just may be.
Well, two things. First, let me ask you about the coincidence that on the day when, and again, the mainstream media wasn't going to report it anyway, the bribery allegations, what some are saying the document showed, the $10 million, five and five. But nonetheless, on that same day, we get the indictment announced. Do you think that there's any connection?
Of course there is. I mean, listen, anyone that understands, and you know, politics isn't rocket science. Let's be honest here. A lot of it comes down to common sense. And it's not a coincidence that on the same day you're going to get these damaging allegations against President Biden that you get a Trump indictment. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way. Nothing ever works out perfectly like that. And yet here we are. So, no, I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think it was unintentional. I think that they needed something to disrupt the media cycle, because if it was simply just what took place in Congress and Congress getting that document, that would have been the main story of the day. And even the mainstream press would have had to report on it. They may have only spent 10, 15, 30 seconds on it, but they would have had to bring it up, and Republicans could have had a field day. But now that Trump's indicted, well, guess what? The whole landscape changes, right? Not just for today.
No,
tomorrow,
yep,
Saturday, yep. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is when he
Wednesday.
Has to turn himself in. So, yep. So the conversation continues, and all the focus is going to be centered on the former president.
Now, let me ask you one more question, and it's again, it's speculation, but it fits in with what you say, and I've said similar things in different ways. And when you talk about what Schumer says, and when you talk about how hard it is to fight when the feds come for you and all that, and you talk about there's not a stomach for it in Congress, can all that not, and we might have discussed this in the past in different language, isn't it possible that that is all part of the same story? It's all the same puzzle. It's one line to then you draw a straight line to this one, to that one, to this one, that it's all the same part, that Congress is afraid. They've been told the word is out. Don't do it. Don't do it. Lay off. You'll be sorry. If you think we have stuff on him, wait till you see what we have on you. Does Congress live in fear of the federal government, the agencies, the same agencies that are doing this to Trump, that they could do it to them?
Yeah, I do. And I do think that then they shouldn't be in office. They if they don't have the courage to stand up, speak out, and push back the way that they are empowered to constitutionally, then they don't deserve to be in office. I mean, sometimes I don't care what the fear is. You have to stand up to the abuses that we're witnessing. And for all those that are celebrating today on the left, for all those Democrats that are celebrating, I want to make it clear. This can happen to you. This could happen to the people that you support. You know, a lot of conservatives, they're constantly pushing out the whole idea of Marxism. And it's true. There are a lot of Marxists. There are a lot of people that want to usher Marxism into the United States. But people like Christopher Wray, they're not Marxists. Okay, people like James Comey is not a Marxist. John Brennan, on the other hand, he may very well be a Marxist. But most of them are not Marxists. They just think that they're the elite, that they're smarter than everyone else, and they have the right to do what they want, to control it in what they deem as preserving democracy. So, I call on the people on the left and I call on the Democrats. Understand that this could easily turn on you when there's someone that you want in office that they don't like. And that's the problem. You cannot have this elite deep state controlling things. They were never elected by the people. They're nameless, faceless bureaucrats. And the only remedy we have is to start depowering them. And the only people that could do that are members of Congress.
Right, right. The same people that we both speculate might be living in fear of doing
well,
just
cowards,
that.
Though.
Yeah,
but
well,
they shouldn't
yeah,
be living in fear.
Well, you know what I mean.
Members of Congress have extraordinary power too, and yeah, they may.
No,
live
but
in
what
fear
I'm saying, what I'm saying, Professor, and I know you understand this. What I'm saying is basically that, I mean, you know, I've speculated for years about John Roberts and the turn that he took, and I said at the time, I remember the first case or the first few cases I said on WMAL radio at the time, I said, you know, maybe they slipped a manila envelope under his door one day. And with some information or a list of things he's done that he's not proud of or whatever, and said, you better watch it. I'm just saying, I have no proof. I don't know. And I'm saying maybe they do that. Maybe they've done that to every Republican, some Republicans, many Republicans. I don't know. But I'm not saying, of course, would they be cowards? Yeah, they'd be cowards. But, you know, self-preservation is another issue. So I'm just saying that they see what's happening and they say, hey, if they could do this to a president, a former president, a presidential candidate who's all of the above, then, you know, I better watch myself because I've already gotten a warning that they might have something on me. So who knows?
I agree. I understand that. But the thing is, if you get members of Congress and they're all together and they're all going forward with this, you're not taking 535 of them out.
True. Okay, that's
so,
true. No.
So,
yep, yep,
so
yep.
The FBI and the law enforcement intel community, they could threaten, they could bully. It's easy to pick off one at a time. But if they all stand together and stand up to these abuses, the bureaucracy's done.
Yeah.
They get shut down.
Yeah.
And that's why they need to put aside their partisanship. They need to work together. And unfortunately, you got people like Schiff that don't mind it because targeting his political opponents. But I do believe that you can make them see. I mean, you know, 2015, I'll always say it's CIA spying on duly elected members of the United States Senate. It should have stopped there. Congress should have taken the power back then. They didn't. That's a pox on their house. They have another opportunity to do it now. Whether they can do it or not, like I said, I'm not sure the will is there.
Right. Professor, I can't wait to hear the next episodes of the PAS podcast. Help folks where they could go find it.
I should have delayed it 2 days, the release, given all this news. But yeah, they could go to PASReport.com. They could find the podcast there and go to any podcast platform that they want to. They could also follow me on Twitter at PASReport. And Steve, I always appreciate being on with you.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? Dump the other one and do another one. Or I don't know how it works for you, but add another one. Put you know.
Hey, listen, they're all relevant.
Yeah, oh, no, I don't mean dump it. I mean just do another one, a special one, and out of sequence or a special, you know, whatever. I'm kidding.
Yeah, but here's the problem. I got two kids with strep throat in my house right now.
Oh no!
Today was like a nightmare.
Oh my God. Well. Then listen. Then I extremely appreciate you coming on. I always appreciate it very much. But take care of your kids. Take care of yourself. And we'll speak soon. And thank you so much, Professor.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
All right. Bye-bye. Professor Nicholas Giordano, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Oh, two kids with strep throat? And he came on? Wow. That's proof. But this is really something. Really something, isn't it? I mean, it's not a surprise. And don't forget, we got the grand jury in Atlanta. Related to him, Trump, you know, reported, you know, trying to fix the election results. Wait till they indict him. Wait till they indict him. They will. You know it. I know it. Just like I said, that we know they're all going to indict him. Three trials during a presidential campaign. Could it be any more obvious what's going on here? Could it be any more? Everything from a porn star to classified documents to trying to fix an election. Doesn't matter what he did. If he jaywalks, they'll arrest him. Believe me. I'm not kidding. All right, folks, we'll come back. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Jesse Zurawell.
The World Health Organization, the WHO, which last week wrapped up its 76th World Health Assembly, which it holds annually. And Russia did not boycott this. It participated readily. How would you rate Russia's performance?
Well, that's a really good question. Maybe we're rating on a scale of 1 to what everyone else is saying, you know, about the how important and health preserving the WHO is. If that's the rating system, Moscow did a wonderful job, because the deputy minister of health, this gentleman named Sergei, I would say probably 90% of his speech could have just been copy and pasted and said by any health minister or official from the West. Within the first few sentences, he talks about how important it is for member states of the WHO to pursue sustainable development goals. He praises China for its pandemic response, claiming that Beijing was an example to the world with how it helped out all over the globe with stopping the spread of coronavirus.
Jesse Zurawell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The ones that matter most are the children. There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care.
As a father, I feel very good about leaving my kids here and they have way more opportunities here.
I can come on campus and I can feel the good vibes and the children, they can really grow.
Together, we are giving Lakota children brighter futures and a proud connection to their past. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, welcome back. So earlier today, you heard we played a little bit of Biden from the guest, Nicholas Giordano. He was asked about the bribery allegations. Where's the money? And he's smiling. Isn't he cute? He's so cute. But there was more. This was at a press conference with the British Prime Minister, who was visiting Biden at the White House. Now, before the press conference, which was after they met, they were sitting in the Oval Office, you know, doing a photo op, basically, before they met. And Biden was babbling. First of all, he called the Prime Minister, Mr. President. Here is cut 87.
Well, Mr. President, I just demoted you, Mr. Prime Minister. It's great to have you back. And, the past few months we've met each other in San Diego, and then we met in Belfast, and we met in Hiroshima. And now we're here. We're going to solve all the problems of the world right in this next 20 minutes. But,
Okay. There you go. So we called him Mr. President. Oh, God. Then, if you can make sense of this, I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to know what it is, because I don't know what he's saying here. It's only about 30 seconds or so, 40 seconds, but I don't know what he's talking. I mean, he goes off on a tangent about Harry Truman and this and about. Here's cut 88.
If we had time, I'd take you over to the residence where I live. And when you were over in Blair House, President Truman was there because they were redoing the White House. He put a whole the Truman balcony exists now because of Blair House being built. That second balcony you see, the first balcony you see going up. So at any rate, and there's an awful lot of stories that are told, but probably a bunch apocryphal about the former prime minister liking to take baths up that. Anyway.
And his the balcony, and Truman put a, and there's a bunch of stories about a former prime minister used to, what do you say, take a bath or something, whatever. Anyway, oh my God, it is so pathetic, so pathetic. And then he was asked about the bribery. This was now at the press conference, and you heard the answer. Where's the money? Ha 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 ha. Okay. And then, ladies and gentlemen, he starts reading. Now, he may have been reading earlier. I didn't see the whole press conference, but he starts reading. He's got a card, and he was reading from the card. He was reading from whatever was in front of him on the podium, reading, literally reading. It's incredible. He's the president of the United States, and he's asked questions about relevant topics, and he's reading, just like Corinne Jean-Pierre reads. Oh, my God. It's unheard of. You ever see Trump read an answer? Did Obama read answers? Did Bill Clinton? Did Ronald Reagan? I mean, Bush? Here is, and guess what this is all about? This question, first of all, from Laura Lopez of PBS is a perfect example of why PBS should be defunded as far as the American, the U.S. government goes, because I'm paying for this trash that you're going to hear in this question, this little softball tossed to Biden, who then goes on to read the prepared answer. Here it is. Guess what it's about? Oh, here's a hint. So proud to bring it to you. Have you guessed yet? Here's cut 90.
Laura Barone Lopez with the PBS NewsHour. All over the country, Mr. President, Republican-led states are passing laws, passing anti-LGBTQ, anti-transgender laws that restrict rights in medical care. Intimidation is on the rise. This week, anti-LGBTQ protesters turned violent in California. And also recently, I spoke to the parents of a transgender girl in Texas who told me that they're afraid and that they are considering leaving not just their state, but the country. Sir, why do you think this is happening? And what do you say to parents like the ones that I spoke to those families who are contemplating leaving the country because they don't feel safe anymore?
Okay, now follow me here. Follow me here. They're going to leave the country. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? Where is a more welcoming country than the United States of America? I mean, where are they going? Where are they going? She spoke to someone. They're leaving the country. Well, Biden won't hear of this. So what does Biden do? He starts off, this part he didn't read, or, I guess this was off the top of his head, but then he starts reading. First, he wants to know who the number of the family so he could talk to them and he could call them. So here we go with cut number 91.
First of all, maybe quietly when we finish this, you can give me the number of that family and I will call them. Let them know that the president and this administration has their back. And I mean that. Look, as president, I was proud to end the ban on transgender troops in our military, sign the Respect for Marriage Act, strengthen the civil rights protections for LGBT Americans, and advance LGBT human rights around the globe. But our fight is far, far from over because we have some hysterical and, I would argue, prejudiced people who are engaged in all what you see going on around the country. It's an appeal to fear, and it's an appeal that is totally, thoroughly unjustified and ugly. It's wrong for that a person can be married in the morning in the United States and fired in the afternoon by their employer because they are they're gay.
Okay. And he's reading all of it. He's reading all of it. It's just so pathetic and sad to watch. It really is. Here's cut number, as he continues to read, 92.
It's wrong that the violence and hate crimes targeting LGBTQ people is rising. It's wrong that extreme officials are pushing hateful bills targeting transgender children, terrifying families, and criminalizing doctors. These are our kids. These are our neighbors. It's cruel. It's callous. Not somebody else's kids. They're all our kids. They're the kids, and our children are the kite strings that hold our national ambitions aloft. It matters a great deal how we treat everyone in this country.
There he goes again with that garbage crap, that dangerous rhetoric, that dangerous notion. And if you repeat something enough, people will just, take it for granted, and it'll just ease into the whole fabric of society. Well, these aren't somebody else's kids. They're our kids. These are our kids. No, keep your hands off my kids. Well, my kid's an adult, but you know what I mean. If I'm blessed to have grandchildren one day, I want Joe Biden and everybody who thinks like him to keep their paws off my grandchildren. They're not your kids. I know Biden personally thinks that he has a right to put his hand on any kid he wants and smell them. Preferably a 10, 12-year-old girl with long hair that he could stroke while he's smelling them and rubbing their shoulders. Sick. Totally sick. But it never happened because the media will not tell anybody that it happened.
These are our kids.
Our kids. Our kids, huh? What a dangerous, dangerous thing to say. Our kids. No, parents are in charge of their kids. Parents are in charge of their kids. unless they want to capitulate to a 7-year-old who says, "Mommy, I want my penis chopped off." Oh, sure, Johnny, let's go. I mean, the line has to be drawn somewhere. You can't take your kid to have an eye taken out because the kid says, I want to be a pirate and wear a patch and I don't want anything under there. And at first I said it's a poor analogy, but you know what? No, it's not. It's a pretty damn good analogy when you consider how crazy it is to cut off a young boy's penis because he tells you he's a girl. All right, now here's the final one. Don't you know there are new initiatives that the president announced today? That's right, new initiatives announced today. Here's they are. Number 93.
Number one, we're going to strengthen the physical safety. Dedicated resources to federal coordination of Better Protect Pride celebrations, marches, community centers, healthcare providers, and small businesses. And secondly, we're addressing civil rights violations. A new coordinator to protect LGBT students from book bans, which make it harder for kids to learn and may violate their civil rights at the same time. We're also engaging in mental health and other supports. More mental health resources and funding to help families support their kids, new efforts to protect LGBTQ kids in foster care, and steps to end the absolute end of LGBTQ homelessness.
I'm sorry. I mean, look, that's all great. I don't care. Go ahead. Protect everybody. Protect who you want. I mean, they should be protected. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing the stories. And if I am, I apologize. And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Nobody should be attacked or harassed or bothered for who they are or what they do. But violence, harassment, unacceptable. Arrest them. Okay. But you see LGBTQ events being attacked? I mean, I'm not talking about protests outside at like drag shows. I mean, you're seeing, I don't know, half the things he said that they're going to do, I don't see that there's it's in response to something specifically. You know, their biggest complaint for the most part is the laws being passed. You can't prevent that, not yet. Give them time, they'll figure it out. All right, so there you go. There you go. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, we have a lot more to get to. Some of it involves this as well, and we will bring it to you. We have one final segment left in the show. Wow. Here on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
It's totally absurd to blame the Canadian wildfires on climate change, but any port in a storm with these people. As a matter of fact, what they do is cause storms of discontent, delusion, distortion, and deception, and then claim it's all climate change. What's going on in Quebec is quite interesting. Now, across Alberta and Western Canada earlier in the month of May, it was very warm and very dry and quite windy, and that's wildfire weather. But in looking at what's going on in Quebec, it's been a bit warmer than normal. It's been a little drier than normal. But overall, that kind of weather in that part of Canada is not really wildfire weather. And I'm trying to figure out how these wildfires got going. Now, I don't have any proof, obviously, that it may be something different. Maybe it was just a few campers. And I haven't seen a lot of thunderstorm activity in that part of Canada going off and igniting these things. But one thing we can say, given Canadian wildfires are on the decrease, given U.S. wildfires are 20% of what they were back in the 1920s, this is not a sign of climate change. As a matter of fact, their weaponization of weather in a phony climate war, which is the title of my book, by the way, is exactly what they are trying to pull, and they've been trying to pull. So don't buy it. This is TNT Climate Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. end it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we're back. Let us continue here with, and this is from MSNBC. The topic is kind of the same. And this is, there was a report put out by the Southern Poverty Law Center, who I've lost respect for a long time ago. The Southern Poverty Law Center, we're supposed to take whoever they call terrorists, whoever they call a threat, we're supposed to take it as gospel, just like the Anti-Defamation League. We're supposed to take it as gospel, unquestioned, and it's got to stick. Well, I don't buy it. Not all of the groups, not everything. Especially, I think my point was made and my point in my own mind was reinforced by what they did today. They put parents groups who are fighting to be in control of what their kids learn in school. They're now basically terrorists. I kid you not. This is just total insanity. So here's a spokesperson for the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center. And then I believe we, here's the spokesperson. Here's cut number 77.
We have marked that there are actually 12 anti-student inclusion groups in the country that are pushing to ban certain books, ban curricula, punish teachers who talk about inclusive education, and generally make our school boards miserable in seeking to provide an inclusive education for all. These groups include Moms for Liberty, which is the largest group in the country, and we've added those 12 groups to our anti-government groups in our hate list this year.
I want to read from the report about schools and kids. This is in the report. Reactionary anti-student inclusion groups such as Moms for Liberty, Moms for America, Parents Defending Education, that the Southern Poverty Law Center lists as extremist groups, are by their very nature responding to social progress that they dislike and have no control over. Like many other hard right groups, these reactionary anti-student inclusion groups are constantly painting themselves as an oppressed class while vilifying those discriminated against.
That was Nicole Wallace, who was interviewing this Southern Poverty Law Center person. Don't you love it? Anti-student inclusion groups, hate groups. Moms for Liberty and the other 11 are hate groups now. Why? Because the Southern Poverty Law Center says so. It's sick. It's scary.
Because they want to ban certain books. Yeah, the books that talk about anal sex to first graders. Imagine that. Hate. That's hate, you see. Hate.
These people? Wow. And then there's this NBC national security correspondent, Frank Figliozzi. Wow. Here's cut 78.
Because the overall takeaway is that hate is becoming more entrenched. They have gone local. Hate has gone local, and the more local it goes, the more mainstream it becomes. Now, one of the strategies we see is what you mentioned, which is an increased targeting of the gay community. It's part of the so-called culture war that they want us to believe is happening, that our religious freedoms are being targeted. Our children are being targeted. And it's about as anti-freedom as you can be in reality, but that's not what they want. I hearken back to decades ago when the FBI and the DOJ really aggressively targeted and successfully went after criminally the KKK. And what happened there was they took off their hoods and their sheets and they put on suits and ties. And they went local. And they ran for office.
It's like they're these moms are the KKK. They're the this is the national security correspondent for NBC News. Moms for Liberty and the other 11 groups who want to protect their kids from obscenity-laced pornographic instruction manuals for little kids, for kids who are minors. They're like the KKK. Here, what that was 78. 78. Okay, let's give you one more of him. 79.
So this isn't the first time we've seen this going local mainstreaming of hatred. We've seen it before, and we see it now with people who truly are driven by hate and deception running for school board and elective office, and that's where the problem is. But the bad news is, you know, just as soon as you get your hands around them from a law enforcement perspective, identify people and groups, they go local. They hide behind suits and ties and try to legitimize themselves, and that makes it very, very hard to get a handle on what's happening.
Wow. Unreal. Really unreal. Now, Andy Ngo, who's been on this show, who is just a great reporter, Epic Times, and he's wonderful. Here he is on Newsmax talking about a confrontation that took place outside of a Los Angeles school. And here's cut 86.
Well, I think that the political agenda of white liberals has really woken up sleeping giants, not just in the North LA County area where there are many Armenian American families, but also yesterday, the same day where there was a clash in LA, there was also a very large similar protest by largely Muslim families in Montgomery County, Maryland, also over the same issue of parents largely of immigrant backgrounds feeling now that their voices over whatever their values are for their children are not being respected. And Antifa and the far left are quite in a bit of shock, actually. They were completely outnumbered yesterday in LA County. They tried to call for reinforcements online, and they were met by many Armenian American men who engaged with them physically when it came to that, and Antifa were protected by police. I think if police were not there yesterday in Glendale, California, there would have been a lot more injuries on the Antifa side.
Now, again, I don't favor or endorse or root for violence at all. But what the hell's Antifa doing there? What's Antifa doing at a parents protest outside a school who are fighting for, you know, they want a bigger say in the curriculum that their kids are getting? What's Antifa doing there? And by the way, isn't Antifa just an idea? How can Antifa be there? It's just an idea, says the FBI director. Echoed by idiots like Joy Behar. All right, before we go, I do want to just acknowledge Pat Robertson, 700 Club, evangelical Christian who did so much for that movement, has passed away at the age of 93. And unfortunately, he got very little respect in his the obit that CNN did. Here's cut 83.
We do have this news just in. Influential conservative Christian broadcaster Pat Robertson has died. Wow. He was 93 years old. Let's take a look back at his life with our Stephanie Elam.
Lord God, fill me now with your spirit.
Pat Robertson was a seminal figure of the religious right. He founded the Christian Broadcasting Network, the political advocacy group, the Christian Coalition, and the Christian College Regent University. But he was also known for his outspoken views on homosexuality, feminism, and a host of other hot-button issues.
There isn't one single civilization that has survived that had openly embraced homosexuality.
In 2001, he agreed with fellow televangelist Jerry Falwell that God allowed the 9/11 terrorists to succeed because America had moved to the left and removed religion from the mainstream.
I totally concur.
All right, here's one more part to that, this bashing of Pat Robertson, 84.
The Yale Law School graduate and Korean War vet had a religious awakening in the late 1950s. He bought a bankrupt local station in Portsmouth, Virginia, and it became the first outlet for the Christian Broadcast Network. It was the first Christian TV network in the U.S. and became one of the world's largest TV ministries. Its flagship program was The Daily Show he hosted, The 700 Club, named for the 700 donors who launched it in 1961.
I plan to make a formal announcement of my candidacy for the Republican nomination for the presidency of the United States.
on the left, we would have heard about nothing but accomplishments, 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 and anything that they were for that someone like me wouldn't have agreed with, they wouldn't make an issue of it, obviously. But here, you know, known for his views on homosexuality and gay marriage, it's the same. It's the same. Anytime a prominent conservative passes, they've done it to Justice Scalia, Rush Limbaugh, and right on down the line. All right, folks, tomorrow, no guests, but God willing, we'll be here anyway. It's Friday tomorrow. Can't believe some of you, it's Friday today. I know. Of course, Jason Oldborn is next with Compass. I'm Steve Malzberg. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, same time, same place tomorrow, right here on TNT Radio.